1 Corinthians 15. We're dealing with the reality of the resurrection. Paul's instruction to the Corinthians, and certainly because of their error regarding the resurrection of the dead. As I've said in times past, it is doubtful that they rejected the resurrection of Christ, although, as I've also said, I do not personally believe that it is an essential for salvation. Remember that we're not saved because of his resurrection. We're saved because of his spiritual sacrifice on the cross and our identity with that. You say, well, what about 1 Corinthians 15, the opening verses, that he died and that he was raised again according to the scriptures? But there's more there. It goes on and says that he was seen of 500, he was seen of the apostles. How much is that as inclusive in the word gospel? You noted that one of the pastors that was here, I think one evening, prayed about at least two different gospels. He prayed about the gospel of salvation and the gospel of sanctification. Now here is a man who understands that the word gospel cannot be limited simply to the soteriological package. Open your minds, people. The word gospel simply means good news. And good news can be all-inclusive. We could say that there's a gospel in eschatology. We could say that there is a gospel related to the rapture. The gospel according to the resurrection. Do you see my point? Let's not limit terms because someone has narrowed them down and in many cases abused them. But the one thing we know, whether they believed in the resurrection of Christ or not, the one thing they did not believe was in their personal resurrected bodies. They had a real problem with that because of their historical background and certainly because of their religious background. That excluded, in fact precluded, their beliefs regarding the resurrection, because to them it was simply a glorified prison. For the body, you remember, was seen as a prison. And the ideal was to get out of the body honorably. And then, of course, to go on into the various stages of the Grecian theologies of the utopias of the future. Well, Paul had to speak to these issues. He had to address them. And he had to do so in a manner which was conducive to the thinking of the Greek mind. See, he doesn't hammer them with Old Testament scripture. What good would that do? You're talking to Corinthians. What do they know about Old Testament scripture? How many Jews would be in Corinth? Very few. And those that were would not have a problem with the resurrection, for the most part. No, these are Greeks, and you have to use the thinking of the Greeks of the time. I'm sure that God has even done that in the placement of pastors. When he sends pastors to various places, I've known some that were like ducks out of water. They were in the wrong place. Let me, and this in no way is said derogatorily, but Dan Hill in Hope, Arkansas. No. He doesn't think like an archy. He doesn't walk like one. There was no way that he and his ministry there was almost nil. Now, the guy that's there now isn't much more effective because he's denied about half of the scriptures and the doctrines that he was taught as a young man. Matter of fact, he was one of the ones that wrote this nasty letter to me, giving me the list of all the nasty boys of the categorical movement. No, Larry, you weren't on it. I wasn't on it. Neither were you, Randy. I don't know how we missed. They have their nasty boys, or the bad boys. These are the nasty boys, whether you realize it or not. Now, I'm very, very comfortable here. I was even, in a sense, up to a certain point, very comfortable on Long Island. Why? Because I knew their thinking. I was raised in that area. I spoke their language. New York. But in the meantime, you see, I had picked up the Western ideology. I'd lived out here. I married a woman who was from the Middle West. But I don't think I would fit. For example, I know that in some Iowa farm community. I don't know a thing about it. Larry, on the other hand, right there. You say the farmers, what is their national backgrounds? Guess. Little Greeks generally don't minister well to a congregation of farmer Germans. You understand how that works? You have to have somebody that's rather dictatorial and rather firm with that German Achtung type situation, you see. They don't understand. The laughter factor would probably be a problem with them. It'd be the same as if I was in Kalamazoo, Michigan. There, they're all very staunch Dutchmen.
No, sit there. Well, I have to get up and say, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians.
I can't do that. Now, here in Arizona, we have from every nation, kindred, and tongue. This is kind of a melting pot of all kinds of people. Most Arizonans are Oklahomans that couldn't afford to go to California. I know that for a fact. You're laughing, but I've talked to a lot of the natives, quote unquote. And they said, we were on our way to California, ran out of money, and so we just stayed in Arizona. There's a few Iowans that did the same thing. I was so glad. That's how I met my wife. On their way to California. See, at one time in this country, California was the utopia. That was the promised land. Never mind Salt Lake City, Utah. That was the promised land. They had natural seagulls there, not those that had flown in by accident or by prophecy. So Paul is addressing the issue, and what better person to do this? Peter couldn't do it. Peter was too Jewish. And that's why his ministry was primarily to whom? To the Jews. God never makes a mistake when he assigns a man to a geography and to a group of people. I might make the mistake, you might make a mistake, but he never does. Oftentimes we question it. Number one, I'm not a small town person. And the bigger the Phoenix metropolitan area gets, the better I'm for it. I came from a city of 8.5 million people. In the geography of Mesa, like ants living all over one another, stacked up in 50, 60-story apartment buildings. That's what I'm used to. But now I'm beginning to appreciate the wide open spaces out where the cactus grows. So you see, I can relate. Because some of you are city people. Some of you are country folk. Some of you like country western music, too. We excuse you for that. The other day I saw, when I was watching Herman Maddox dancing, I wanted to yell out, I have to run out and get some manure so you can stomp it as you're dancing. Should have seen him doing Greek dancing, and he was doing the Texas two-step. I do know what the Texas two-step is. I've seen other people do it. You know, that twirling thing and so on, and my granddaughter and he were having a blast out there, and that was the Greek music. That's okay. But they like to do a lot of stomping, don't they? Paul then is going to use the logic of the Greek mind. He's going to say, look, I'm going to get you to understand that there is a resurrection, because if there isn't, then we're just wasting our time. See, Paul knew it. They didn't. And remember that your belief in no way sets a contingency on whether or not what God has promised will, in fact, occur. Whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen. You're eternally secure whether you believe in eternal security. You're going to be raptured pre-tribulationally whether you believe in a pre-tribulational rapture or not. You think really God's going to say, well, you believe in a post-tribulation or are you going to go through the tribulation? No. You don't believe in a millennium? Too bad. I've got it all set up. My plans, God says, are never frustrated by your puny little beliefs. Remember that. The issue is not for him to conform to our beliefs, but for us to believe to what he has told us to conform to. Did you get that? And that's where we miss it. We want God to agree and conform to what we believe or don't believe. And there's never an issue. Then who becomes God? We do. No, he says, I've said it and that settles it and you get with it. Remember, the plan of God can either be adjusted to or just going to roll right over you. It's not going to wait for you. God's not going to say, well, let's just wait a few. You remember the ones who were following with him and the one said, I want to go back and bury my this and do my that and pay my taxes and so on. He says, forget it. I'm on my way. I'm leaving. You either follow me or that's it. You better get that. You better get that. It's awful to be a believer after the fact. You get left in the cloud of smoke or the dust of the path. There are those that are marching on, and they're going to march on whether you're with them or not. Whether you're in the lines of the ranks and files of the battle or not. They're not going to wait for you. Both the Marines and the Rangers have the same philosophy. Either get with it or get the hell out of my way. I like that. It's not quite that way. It's stronger than that. But, you know, this is Sunday and this is low mass on Sunday evening. If it was high mass, I'd have used get the heck out of my way. As if that makes a difference. They're both expletives. Where did we ever get this? Gosh darn. Come on. Who are you trying to kid? Oh, shoot. Who? Hey, what is that, the Christian way of saying crap? Oh, crud. Oh, shooty, shooty. And what's the past tense of that? Oh, shatty, shatty? I don't know. We strain at words, and all words are used is a means of conveyance of ideas. That's all they are. For certain people, you don't have to use any expletives. When I was a police officer, I always neglected purposely to use them initially until I had to. That's the only language the guy understood. If I'd say to him, sir, would you please get out of the car? Blah, 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 blah. Hey, Jack, I told you to get out of the car. Get out now or you're going to jail. Blah, 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 blah. I won't tell you what I said after that. But you can imagine. Let your imagination just. And they got out of the car then. They didn't understand sweet talk. Some of you do. Some of you don't. Some of you have to have it repeated over and over again. This morning was Bob's last time here. As thinking Ben came up to me and says, when is Bob leaving? Well, he's not stinking Ben, but you understand. Rotten Ben, okay. There's a glory of the sun, the glory of the moon, and the glory of the stars, and one star differs from another star in glory. Why? Because the glory differs. The stars don't differ. Notice, in glory. That's the New King James. There's also the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. This is a very interesting Greek word, by the way. If you ever wanted to learn how to pronounce Greek words, this is a good one to learn. P-H-T-H-O-R-A. It's like P-H-T-H. That's... No, it really isn't. Listen to it. It's phthora. Okay? I know you're going to have difficulty with it, but you're not Greek. Phthora. You're going to go phthora. And then you have to roll the R. Ra. Phthora. If you can't roll your R's, don't worry about it. Practice going grrr. Then you'll get it. You say, I can't do that. It just comes out. All right. So you'll say, here it is, phthora. No, phthora. Now, if you want to negate a Greek word, and this is a perfect illustration of it, you simply put an alpha privative in front of it. That's exactly what he did. Phthora is corruptible. Alpha privative, incorruptible. Literally, not corruptible. So he says, the body is sown, is put into the ground. Remember, the word sown is used in the context of planting seed in the ground, and unless it dies, it cannot come back. And what you put in the ground, you don't expect to come back the same. What an awful thing. Take a peach seed, the center of a peach. You put it in the ground. What's the expectation? That by and by you're going to end up with what? More peach seeds? No, you expect that they'll have limbs and leaves and peaches with the seed inside like it's supposed to be. The seed produces the tree. The body is sown corruptibly. It's not going to be raised corruptibly. It can't. But it has to be sown to be raised. I know that's deep. It doesn't need to be raised if it hasn't been sown. Huh? Well, there is a generation that won't see death. So we're not going to be a part of that, quote, resurrection. You say, what? What is it for us? Translation. The dead in Christ are resurrected. We're not resurrected because we haven't died. You say, why do you say we? That's called imminent return. Close as I can get to it. It could be 1 minute, could be 6 months, could be 6 years, it could be 600 years. You say, yes, but there are evidence. I read my paper this morning. Yeah, Paul believed that the Lord could return in his day too, because he said, we which are alive and remain. We're going to be translated. On our way up, boom, glorified body. Won't be any less than theirs. They were sown corruptibly. We are alive corruptibly. They just smell a little worse than we, that's all. So what about the people who have been blown up? Don't you know that God knows where all the parts are? Besides, he's not going to use those parts anyway. We're not remanufactured parts. The Christian resurrected body is not rebuilt. It's all new. It's a new body. You say, what is it going to be like? I've got the answer. I don't know. Except for one inference. It's going to be like his. Yeah? But I have a problem with that too. His when? His while he was on earth or his after the ascension? Uh-oh. So we're back to what? I don't know. You're safe in saying that. Hey, there's nothing wrong with saying I don't know. Bob said it a couple of times. He didn't try to BS us because we'd have known it. He just said, I don't know. That's fine. Move on to the next question. What's wrong with saying you don't know? Oh, you see, but we don't want to do that. We don't want to show that there's something that we don't know. I could ask you questions about things you don't know. I'm sure that we have people here that could do that. Joe Bruni could. Carl Gross could. I could. I'd ask you questions. You'd be spinning around running into walls. Technical questions regarding mechanical aspects in aeronautical engineering. Mark could. He could start in and tell you what he does with his computer. That'd throw you for a loop. Throws him for a loop. He's learned new words since he started working on that computer. And they're not related to the programs he's running either. It's what he calls the programs that he's running. These are brand new words, whole new vocabulary. Yeah, he's gotten past the damn it stage. Don't you dare do that to me. You're past that at that point. See? And you Mac people say, well, that never happens to a Mac. Forget that. Those things will hang up just as fast. There's no computer that's infallible. It's raised incorruptibly. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. See the opposites? It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. See, he's trying to get this out of their minds. You're not going to just have the same old natural body that you had before. You're going to have a whole new body. They understood corruption. They were a very clean society. The ancient Greeks took well care of their body. They cleaned it. They scrubbed it. The women perfumed it. They understood what corruption was all about. The Egyptians were even more meticulous in cleanliness. The Japanese, same thing. You know who were the slobs of the ancient world? The Anglo-Saxons. They stunk. They never bathed. They didn't even know what water was. They thought it was just for fish. Anglo-Saxon societies. Phew, can you imagine living back in that time? Say, where's George? There he is. All you'd have to do is whiff for him, see? Just proof that... And the Greeks were afraid of the fact that they were going to just have a same old body, only an everlasting one. No, no, no. He says, that isn't the case. You've got a natural body, and he's going to develop this beautifully by showing how we received our natural body. It's the first Adam. And how to receive and going to receive our spirituality and our spiritual body from the last Adam. You want to make a personal study? Study this. The first Adam and last Adam as opposed to the first man and the second man. Why doesn't he call it the first man and the last man? Why does he call it the first Adam and the last Adam instead of the first and second Adam? I know. I'm not asking you a question that I don't understand. I'd never do that. But I'll tell you. No, I won't tell you. Yes, I'll tell you. The first Adam represents Adam. The last Adam is Christ. That goes without question, does it not? Now, the first of mankind, Adam. The second of mankind, Christ. You say, how many others are there? There aren't. There's only two. So he uses proton for the first and dephteron, which is second. In the other, it's first proton. In the other is eschaton, which is the last. Why? Because there's no more atoms to come. And he prefaces the first and second man with the first and last atom. So the parallel there is, who is the first Adam? The first man. Who is the last Adam? The second man. The second man of his kind. And there's only two. Now, you either bear the image of Adam after the fall, or you bear the image of Christ positionally in regeneration. The best the sin nature can do is to conform you to the image of Adam. And the best the Holy Spirit can do is to conform you to the image of Christ. You see the balance? I know two pastors sitting there saying, man, I just got 940 messages out of that one. Just that one statement. That's how rich the Word of God is. Some of you are going, would you say that again? No. My time is gone. I'll say it again under review next time. Let's pray. You're dismissed. Thank you, Father, that we are not in the first Adam, fallen, but in the last Adam, redeemed. Thank you that we're assured that because we're in the last Adam, we're going to have the body he has. For we carry now the evidence of the body of the first Adam. That's why this corruption, this corruptible body, must put on incorruption in the incorruptible body, likened unto his glorious body. Thank you for the evidence of the resurrection. Thank you for the evidence of the surety that we can have. And even the application that as the sin nature does everything in its power to conform us to the image of Adam after the fall, so the Holy Spirit does everything in his power to conform us to the Christ, the last Adam, as a part of our regeneration. Dismiss us, therefore, with this challenge, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.